Hello, Tony. How are you?
I'm very well, thanks. I've got to talk about fireworks first, really. The noise. I know firework night has gone, but it's more firework season these days, isn't it?
I think it's turned into that, and it worries me somewhat because it used to be that fireworks, you knew when they were coming and you knew what to do. But at the moment, we're finding that fireworks are just random. There was some set off the other evening and it wasn't even dark. And you can normally, if you know roughly when things are happening, you get all the dogs out for wee's and poos before they go off, obviously, and get yourself settled in. If you're desperate, take them out for a wee on the lead, obviously not off the lead. But at the moment, I had the girls in the garden and all hell kicked off. And even we've got two deaf ones, and even they look rather startled. We've got one now that worries about fireworks, and this is what we're seeing with dogs getting. You might have dogs that have been fine with fireworks and noises in general, but it can be as they get older, but also it can be that the volume has changed with these things. But we're noticing that more dogs are getting more fearful. One of my trainers, she was saying that this morning that her dog is actually sort of almost come dusk, is beginning to shake, thinking, right, here, when are the bangs starting? And she's an older rescue dog and she's been absolutely fine for many years. So this is what we're seeing, that dogs are getting more nervous. We've got one that used to be fine, that the local church, for some extraordinary reason, had a do in the summer, last summer, not this last, the last one. And we ended up with two rockets in the garden. And
Oh,
that's
God,
it. I
good.
mean, you know, in some respects, you wouldn't care, but when it's ruined your dog for the rest of her life, I care hugely now. And I've never had dogs that worried by stuff. And it's like anything, once you have dogs that. It's the same with, you know, it goes with every sort of thing that dogs come with. If you've had fearful dogs, if you've never had them, suddenly when you get them, you're on the other side, aren't you? You're with those people that have had fearful dogs for years, and now you understand what it's like. It's like having miniature breeds and then suddenly having giant breeds and vice versa. And you just have a glimpse into the other side of owning that, either that dog or that mentality of the dog. And
So what do you do? What's the remedy? Because I mean, I've got two dogs, as you well know, Nuka, who takes absolutely no notice of fireworks at all. She's a very old Labrador and she just couldn't care less. But we've got Archie, of course, who is a boxer mixed with a whippet. And he's rather edgy. And we were sitting there a couple of nights ago and there was a banger went off. Just made him jump out of his skin. I've never seen anything like it before, and I know that fireworks and dogs are not really a good mix, but I'd never seen the effect and the look of horror on his face when this banger went off. He jumped and he just looked at me and as if to say, "What on earth was that? I'm terrified." And he doesn't know. So what is the remedy?
Well, that's it. He looks at you as if saying, you know, what have you done? And it is, they do look most alarmed. So what we generally would recommend is make noise in your own house and put the telly on, put the radio on, even if you do some hoovering. One of our guys that used to come to class said that they found that dancing helped. I've not gone that far, if I'm honest, but anyway, that helped. There's things like thunder shirts you can wear, because this sorts of thing is only going to get worse. Because we've got various other things coming up, haven't we? In the future, obviously, Remembrance Day, and then we've got Christmas,
Well,
etc.,
that's more
etc.
cannon fire
So,
than fireworks, but
yeah,
yeah, there's lots of celebrations coming up between now and Christmas that
exactly.
tend to involve fireworks, and the organized ones, the organized displays tend to have the louder bangs.
They seem to. And so, as I say, there's a thing called thunder shirts. There's things called rescue remedy. That's a tincture you can put on the dog's tongue, or you can put it in the water, and that's just to help settle them. The thunder shirts are tight, sort of coat type wraps that you can put on your dog. Some people find that if they have a dog that wears a coat in the winter months because of the rain or the weather, just by putting that on helps it rather than rather than a specific one for bangs and noises. So you might find that would help. We were fine at home until somebody decided to look out the window to see what direction the fireworks were coming from, and then that was it. So well done, Wendy. As I say, that set all the dogs off, and the dogs were quite calm until that point. So even if you think you've got calm dogs, something can just sort of give them a wriggle. But I think the thing is just make sure you're indoors, but don't fuss them. For goodness sake, don't go and fuss them and say, there, you're all right.
No, I've heard this is not a good thing to do, is it?
No. Because again, you've got the knock-on effect. Your dog then, the worst case scenario is you sort of unlock something within the dog and it becomes sort of a dog that's what's called on red alert. Mm. So it's not just those noises. Other things can then start rattling it. It is a very, very difficult time. And having had dogs for many, many years that have never reacted, to the point that we've had dogs that would sit out in the garden quite happily and watch the fireworks.
Yeah, I've had dogs like that, yeah.
Yeah, and suddenly you're that person now cursing them. So
it's not a pleasant experience for the dogs, let's put it that way. And it also makes it difficult for dog owners as well who perhaps take their dogs out for a late night walk or a late night empty of the bowel or the bladder, you know, whatever dogs do. And, you know, not a good thing if a dog is out having a sniff in the dark and thinking about doing what comes naturally to a dog, and all of a sudden a banger goes off or a firework goes off, and it just startles the dog. So anybody actually thinking about fireworks, the only thing I can think of is just have a little bit of consideration for those dogs who really aren't particularly keen on fireworks.
No, exactly. And, you know, obviously it's not just the dogs. We've heard of horses have bolted recently, and all sorts of things have happened. Yeah. The animals in general just don't like it. But again, as you say, dogs being crepuscular creatures, they like to go first thing in the morning, last thing at night. Those are the best times of day for dogs. And if you've got a young dog, we've got a new young dog, and the other evening I was thinking I'll just take her out for a quick whiz round a street walk, just to get rid of a bit more energy before bed. It'll do a good nighttime walking is great for dogs because different smells, and they act very differently at night. Sometimes they actually heel beautifully on the lead, which would be luxury for me, I have to say. But anyway, they do those things, so it's worth playing around with those and being able to go out at night. But then, for goodness sake, if you are out and there's a firework display or somebody lets off some firework, it could really, really upset your dog.
Just walk in the opposite direction as fast as you can, I think. Yeah. There are other noises, of course, that are not particularly dog friendly as well, aren't there?
Yeah, I mean, there's all sorts of noises. There are lots of dogs, you know, a lot of these rescue dogs, they just don't like cars and the air brakes, things like that. They don't like buses, they don't like trains. They don't like bins, you know, in the wet weather.
Yeah.
When if you're putting the bin out, the noise of the little black wheels going on a wet pavement, that can really upset dogs. The trick is, if you with a young dog or a rescue dog, is gradually get it used to these sounds. We've got
I was going to say, you need to train. There's a training element here in all of this. I mean, fireworks, you can't really account for, really. But other everyday noises like the traffic, as you mentioned, like the bins and those sorts of things, you can. And there are ways of training dogs to sort of get over the fear of those things, isn't there?
Yes, I mean, what we've been doing this year, interestingly enough, we've got a CD. That's very old-fashioned, isn't it? Anyway, we've got a CD.
What's one of those?
I don't know, anyway. But I tried to lend it to somebody the other day, and they said that they hadn't got anything in the whole house that would play a CD. But anyway, we've got this CD, and it's got all the sounds that a dog would find scary on it. And we've been playing that recently in classes. And it's very interesting, the reaction we're getting from dogs, to the point of anything from a dishwasher to a baby crying and all these different sounds. And again, fireworks and thunder. Now, the thing I find interesting is, although it's obviously a tape, so to speak, of that noise, once you play it through a device, it's not real anymore, is it? And once you've recorded it, it's
depends
not
on
real.
The realism of the recording.
Well, yes, unlike us, of course. So it's, you know, it is that thing that that dogs aren't, they weren't reacting as they would be if there was a thunderstorm outside while we were training indoors. But listening to thunderstorm through
Thunderstorm thing, of course, was one of the main features of the film Marley and Me, wasn't it, really? Because Marley, the worst dog in the world, was actually delightful, really. Just didn't like thunderstorms. He couldn't deal with the sound of thunder, and there are many dogs that can't. And I'm just wondering, how do you deal with something like that?
Again, it's very difficult, because you don't know. The dogs invariably will know 2 to 3 days maximum before this air pressure, before they arrive. And some dogs can fit, they can do all sorts of things. They can have some quite bad effects before the storm hits, purely because of the air pressure. It's the same with people that have migraines and things. It can be about air pressure. So it's just, I'm being a trainer, my thing would always be, get your dog trained as much as you can. We do some stuff in class which is about your dog trusting you. So if we do anything with the dog, the dog's got to know that it's safe, only because it has to believe that we keep it safe. So whatever we would do with the dog, the dog looks at you as if to say, well, that's going to be fine with me, because I know you keep me safe. The other day we were just taking, you know, those dancing hoops. I know you'd know those dancing hoops, Tony. But anyway, like hula hoop things.
Those ones.
Anyway, we were just taking those over dogs' heads and making them sit in them and taking them. And some dogs really couldn't cope with them.
Yeah.
But until they believed that the owner had got, you know, they believed in the owner, with the owner saying, you know, you're safe with me, not saying there, it's okay, but the level of training, to the point that if you've said to your dog, sit and stay, they trust you, that you've told them to sit and stay for the very best reason, and they're not going to be hurt by anything. Yeah. And then you can see, it is interesting, you can see how the trust develops. So with all these things, I think if your dog believes in you, without you obviously cuddling it and saying you're safe. But it is very difficult, because, you know, there's so many rescue dogs over here now that have come from really tricky circumstances that we might never know what spooks them. Ours aren't good with the sound of metal, you know, that you'd have on.
But they're good with hula hoops.
They're great with hula hoops.
I'll tell you what, the hula hoop was famous for about 30 seconds, I think, in 1959, I do believe. And I think you've just about started a craze to get them back going again.
I think we should. It's good for your core muscles, Tony.
Wendy, I look forward to seeing you giving it a demonstration. I really do. Speaking of trust, and you know, with the dogs and that, because they do have to have trust in their owners, it's like taking them to the vets or giving them some medication. Illustration, really. Nuka had trouble with her ears, and the vet prescribed some tablets. And I've never ever seen this before, but you know, with most dogs, you can't get them to take tablets for love nor money. You have to disguise them in food, or pretty much hold them open and push them down their throat. Not these ones. You literally put it on your hand, and she took it from you, and she ate it. Absolutely staggering. But the point I was trying to make was, in terms of owners and dogs' trust, one of the things they need to have done, of course, is a flea treatment.
Yeah. Well, it's these things, because there's an awful lot of flea treatments out there now. There's fleas out there still. They're still hopping around, thank you very much, because they've just become resistant to all sorts of things. So what I would recommend is, the best way forward with anything like that is keep combing your dogs, brush your dogs, comb your dogs. Don't overwash them because you'll take all the oils out the body.
Can I stop you there just 1 second? Again, talking, I can only refer back to Nuka. We've had Nuka now for, oh, I don't know, 8-9 years or something like, and she's never been anywhere near a bath or shampoo, and her coat is absolutely beautiful.
Lovely. They don't, I mean, we get really sort of twitchy when we, you know, with washing dogs. Some people just love doing it. But again, you know, fair enough, some dogs quite enjoy it, but I would really be cautious. They do like being brushed, and that's what I would recommend.
Oh, she loves it, yeah.
Because that's what you need to do with dogs. Sometimes you have to wash them because they get into a frightful pickle. Or again, if they've been in the sea, or if they've, you know, they've got lots of salt on their coat, it's a good thing to get that out. But as far as the fleas go, keep combing. There are flea combs out there, which are marvellous little tight toothed things. So keep combing and combing. Some people rely on the chemicals that you get from the vets for flea treatment. The ones, I think there's pills out there now. We personally don't.
You get these little sachets that you squirt on the back of their neck and down the fur, and they tend to work brilliantly.
Yes, I mean, again, it just depends on the make. There's some makes out there that
hellishly expensive.
Oh, I know. And some makes don't work at all now, and you hate to think what's happening to the dog. But really, if you can just keep combing them, there's some good herbal things that you can put out. Yeah. Good natural oils that you can make up. Some sprays and things. So it's just really a question of putting a little bit of effort in.
Yeah.
And but as I say, combing is your best bet, because if you see them, you can catch them. Somebody at class the other day wanted to know how to know if your dog had fleas. Well, apart from obviously the obvious scratching, and if you've got a thick-coated dog, or if you've got a dog that's got a dark coat, you can't always see stuff. So we would always say stand them on a white piece of paper. It doesn't have to be an enormous white piece of paper, because if you've got a big dog, but it has to be on the back end, so your back feet, and comb the dog, especially over the tail area, the top of the tail, and sort of down the back and the inside of the back legs. And any sort of little bits, sort of like little granules that drop onto the white paper, if you then sort of drop a bit of water onto those granules, if they split red, which means there's blood in them, so that would suggest that it's flea poo, which would have blood in it.
Okay.
So it's not something to worry about, the red bit, but it just means that there is evidence that there might be somebody else living on your dog. So that's a good way to look. You know,
and of course, it's getting your dog to trust you enough to do that, of course. And I think it's not just the flea treatments. There's worming. There are all sorts of bits that need to be done with the dog that you need really to get the dog's trust to allow you to do it without sort of having to have a fight to actually get the thing done.
Trust is a massive thing with dogs, because you need to be able to look in their ears. Mm. You need to be able to look in their teeth, look at their teeth, fiddle with their mouth. And this has to be done appropriately, because you can't let kids go around poking and prodding, because they could get...
Dogs don't like that.
No, you have to know. And also tell the dog what's expected. So have a point that, let's say, we sit here when we do this, and don't suddenly lunge at the dog and think, oh my God, I haven't checked its ears, and the dog's doing something else entirely. You lunge at it and start pulling the ears around. They you know, you're more likely to alarm the dog. You could get bitten. You know, they're dogs get freaked out by things as well as we do, so tell them what's happening. Again, with nails, all sorts of things. Keep their nails nice and trim as well. So if you don't do it yourself, make sure you go to the groomer and get that done.
Okay, Wendy, believe it or not, we've talked for quite some time now. We're actually out of time, believe it or not.
Golly.
So we're going to return to the flea treatments and the coats for dogs and the bullies and all that sort of thing when we talk to you again in a month's time. Hopefully we'll do one more before Christmas, because it's not far away. For now, Wendy, though, thank you for talking to us.
Thank you, Tony.